And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Oh, hey, it's Dave. I told those tawny punks to meet me up at the local laundromat so I could neglect to separate their lights and darks before washing their delicates in their normal cycle before ultimately taking them for a little tumble dry with my f***ing fists. Where you at, tawny punks? Cacao!
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, January 5th. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the Bassmaster and number one Bulls fan, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last but not least, making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out right now to the stream team joining us live on YouTube. Make sure all of y'all like and comment and subscribe. Hit 22,000 subs yesterday. Okay.
Hey.
Next stop, woo, 25K station. Let's get there. Chug along. Email us your questions and comments to nodunks@theathletic.com. We're stepping on the beach tomorrow, Wednesday. So get your cues and your comments in. Tass will join us for that show as well, so that'll be a blast. Go get that fire No Dunks merch at nodunks.com. Hoodies, t-shirts, a Good Morning Sweet World mug that is so sweet. Renee Young, a.k.a. Renee Paquette herself, bought it. Did we send it to her? No, we're cheapskates. She actually bought this thing. Shout out to Renee for repping No Dunks there with that mug.
I love to see it when another celebrity is drinking your drinks. It just feels so good. That's why we're heading to 25K. We're heading to the 25K station. See you there, buddy.
It's great. Tass is what you need to know for Tuesday's little mini recap pod video. It's up already. Go check that out. If you subscribe to us on YouTube, you're already seeing it. If you subscribe to the podcast, you're maybe already listened to it, for crying out loud. That little appetizer to this main course. And don't miss out on the deal we're running right now. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. You can sign up for just $3.99 a month. Lee, that's cheaper than your organic bananas that you buy.
Well, it should be too. Those organic bananas should be a little bit pricey because bananas are in the decline at the moment. We've got to eat them while we can, especially those organic ones. Don't get the ones from the CVS pharmacy, as we learned in Las Vegas.
Well, look, if they're in decline, you know what? Don't buy bananas for a month or so and put it into a great athletic subscription, theathletic.com/nodunks. All access, you know, the pods are ad-free, and you get the best damn sports writing in the world. So go check that out.
You know, right. Just quickly on that, yeah. I actually had a friend of mine. You know, everyone's got one of those goofy friends. I had one the other day.
You're ours.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this friend of mine sent me a link to The Athletic the other day and said, check out this website. It's got some really good sports stuff.
Wow, sounds like a really close friend, Lee.
Have I got a deal for you?
he's the guy. He's my friend who lives out in Houston, and he moved there a few years ago. Just about the same time we moved, it was when the Warriors were on the rise, and he sent me a text one time and said, gee, this Steph Curry guy, he's really good. How long's he been in the league for? Shout out to Jizzy. Everyone loves Jizzy.
You got to throw the name out there and add a Y to it. So shout out to Jizzy indeed. Okay, guys, lots to talk about here, as always, with No Dunks. We're going to start with a little newish segment that we're just calling Five Games, One Thing. I mean, there was 9 games on in total. We're not going to get to them all. But you know what? That's the best part about Tass having that little mini podcast. We may not touch on that game, but Tass, he might have. So go check that out. But Five Games, One Thing. I'll hit you with the game. And you guys, you know, give me your biggest takeaway. First one is the Knicks. Lee Ellis's New York Knicks beat the Hawks. 113-108. The Knicks are 4-3, Lee. Have at it, man.
Listen, first off, another fun game between the Knicks and the Hawks. Two teams who were in the cellar last season, not really playing a lot of fun basketball. This was a great game right to the end. The Knicks nearly blew it. They nearly Knicks themselves. But in the end, they hang on for that victory. And honestly, I don't even know where to start here. Do you start with Julius Randle, who is bringing back the point forward position? He's been fantastic for the Knicks all season long. Was again phenomenal last night. Or do you go with the sophomore, RJ Barrett? Another very good game from him. Yep. Or do you even go even lower down on the food chain to Emmanuel Quickley, the point guard, rookie point guard, who came in the third quarter and was fantastic for the Knicks? This was just, there was so much happening in this game. The Hawks nearly pulled it out at the end. But I think ultimately the star of this game was Julius Randle. He was fantastic. And he really is maturing as a player in the NBA. You know, he was a high draft pick from the Lakers, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago now? And he broke his leg in his first game he ever played, and we didn't see him for that first season. And then he went to New Orleans. He was okay out there, but he didn't really fit. He goes to New York, and it's like, well, why not? Who cares? You're going to play for the Knicks. But now he's actually not just playing well. He's being a leader for that team. The team is winning games, and there's obviously now a lot of all-star buzz around him, and it is deserved because he's been fantastic, and it's not just on the offensive end. Defensively, he's really making his presence felt. He's 6'9". He's a big guy. He's a big, strong guy. And it's just showing he can have an impact on both sides of the ball. And that's just great. The Tom Thibodeau Knicks, you know, it started off a little bit slow, but now they're rolling. They've got a leader. They've got a guy who can score the ball. They've got a guy who's like the main part of their defense, especially because they're missing a couple of players too, defensively, a couple of bigs. So he's taking on a bigger role there, Julius Randle. And the team is playing fantastically well. Fun basketball, another great game, and man, the sky's the limit for the Knicks.
Look, their identity is, it's Tibbs installing a defense, is it not, Trey? Like, that's what they're hanging their hat on right now. Randall's been awesome. You said Barrett's, you know, starting to blossom here. Quickly changed that game against the Hawks when he sort of, I think he played the entire fourth quarter. You know, Tibbs was trusting him and what he's doing at the point guard position, but it's defense, is it not, Trey? And no surprise when Tibbs is your coach.
It's defense, and it's the full Tibbs effect, to be quite honest. Welcome to the Tibbs Hive, New York Knicks fans. The defense has been good. You know, they're 11th right now. They were 10th probably coming into last night, but a lot better than you would expect from the Knicks. But the other part of the Tibbs experience is that Julius Randle and RJ Barrett are number 1 and 2 in minutes per game. That's how you do it. That's how you win some games. Play your best players a lot.
Yeah.
They want to get out there. You know, the Knicks would like to... Who knows if they're going to actually build around Julius Randle? Probably not likely, but they would like to increase his trade value, and this is certainly working. Him looking like prime Chris Webber out there. Meanwhile, Barrett just looks like a different player. He looks stronger. He looks more decisive. And, you know, I think Tibbs has kind of unleashed him a little bit here. Quickly, like you're saying, almost played the entire fourth quarter. Pick and roll guards do pretty well with Tom Thibodeau. Mm. DJ Augustine had his best years as a Bull. Nate Robinson, John Lucas III. There are all these random guys that Tibbs would put out there that could handle the ball and just get some shots up. You know, we think of Tom Thibodeau as a defensive coach. Obviously he is. But the rumor is when he played basketball back in the day, he was a shoot first point guard. So I always love that his backup point guards just come in and gun. It's awesome. Yeah. And it seems to work. Quickly was good last night. I think he ended up with 16, had a nice assist. Austin Rivers made a few more plays. The Knicks are getting contributions from everyone. It's not going to last for the whole season, right? It's probably not going to, but maybe if these young guys are able to stay on the court through the Tibbs 40 minutes a game, maybe it gives them a chance to at least be knocking on the door of that play-in tournament.
Yeah, wouldn't it be so Knicks-like to, in a year where we possibly can have fans in the arenas for playoff games, that the Knicks would make the playoffs and we wouldn't, you know, poor Knicks fans couldn't even be able to attend MSG games. But yeah, this is a great start. And it's really just that identity to me. They're playing hard. They're no doubt. Yeah, they're a bit of you know, cast of misfits there. And so when you look at the roster, although there is some young talent that is, again, starting to improve, but they're just playing their asses off. Now it got a little Knickish late in the game, specifically some turnovers. Reggie Bullock throwing a pass off the back of the backboard, whoa, trying to save it. That was interesting, but they had it. You know, they had built a big enough lead, and of course, held on to keep the Hawks at bay. But
the Knicks and Hawks lowlights from the last 1 minute of this game felt like when they were both 10-win teams or something, right? Cam Reddish botching the dunk with a massive brick off the back. It goes flying, and that's how Reggie Bullock even gets that to have the turnover. There was some wild stuff happening. If you're a Knicks fan and you see the Knicks winning that game, it must just feel completely asinine to you that your team won a weird game like that, had a comeback the way they did. Randle was unstoppable on the glass. They could not keep this guy off the offensive boards, and it was huge. I can't believe it. The Knicks are back.
Knicks Twitter was hilarious during this game because they were down big. They were down, I think, 15 points in that third quarter. So it's like, you know, all right, the Knicks are back to being the bad Knicks. And then they were in a comfortable lead, and it's like, Knicks are playoffs, baby. And then it was like the Knicks are Knicksing in that last minute and a half there because they just couldn't quite get over
the line. The full spectrum of Knicks fandom there, yeah.
Yeah, but you mentioned Austin Rivers there. He actually was very good for them defensively last night too on Trae Young at the end there. You know, he's able to sort of keep this keep in front of Trae Young, just make things difficult for him. Trae had another good game, but he wasn't able to really sort of take over and dominate at the end like he would have liked to scoring-wise. You know, the Hawks' offense really slowed down in that fourth quarter, and Austin Rivers deserves some credit for just being right in the grill of Trae Young there and just making it difficult for him. So, you know, he's talked about that, you know, Austin Rivers being there in the Knicks. He's a professional. He's a veteran. He's been around a lot. He goes out there and he battles. You know, he does battle. So I thought that was good. It's just, it's a good win for the New York Knicks right now. And you're right, Trae. Like, will it last? Probably not. I just don't think they have the depth of talent right now. But listen, if you play hard every night and you defend the way they have been defending these last couple of games, you give yourself a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the rest of the teams in the Eastern Conference. I wouldn't have them near the top by any means, but I look at the ones, you know, in the lower half.
Like
and
the Raptors.
This type of Knicks team is just as good as any of them on any given night. To me, a lot of these teams, the five or six teams, seven teams even. So playoffs, the play-in tournament should be the goal for sure.
I thought we weren't going to say it like that, that the play-in tournament was the goal.
That's why I said both, playoffs, yeah, and then yeah. I changed it to the play-in.
I've hardened even harder on this. I think that the play-in tournament is the playoffs, and I'll tell you why. I'm a Bears fan. They just made the NFL playoffs by backing into the seventh seed, which didn't exist before this season. The NFL happy to call every team that makes the postseason the playoffs. This is an easy win for the NBA. Call every team the playoffs. Why not?
Yeah, Lee, they expanded the wild card games here for this season for the NFL. Is that just for this season, Trae, or is that officially moving forward?
I don't know. I assume they'll keep it. More playoff games.
More money.
All right, well, our next game here. Tatum scores 40. In the Celtics 126-114 win over the Raptors. I see you assholes smiling away over there. Before I bury the Raptors, before I bury the Raptors, of course, kudos to the Celtics, especially Jason Tatum, who is unbelievable right now. Jason Tatum could have had 60 points in this game easily. Mm-hmm. I swear to God. I mean, it was like so simple for him, you know, get some pick and roll action, attack the Raptors bigs, and it was like marching to the line. You can get anything you wanted in this game. Celtics were playing without two of their best guards too. Of course, no Kemba Walker, and then no Marcus Smart, who's really important to them, and they still led by 26 in the second half. They shot nearly 50% from the floor. Great win by the Beantown boys there. In a tough, you know, schedule-wise, a lot of us were looking at, like, that was their third and fourth, third game and fourth nights. It was a back-to-back situation, blah, 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 blah. Like, damn. They put the beat down on Toronto. But the Raps, wow, where to start? You know, you can talk about whether you're ready to press the panic button. Maybe you've already had. Maybe you're still waiting. But the vibes are funky with this squad. And you're hearing it even in quotes, you know, from Van Vliet, who had a killer game. They probably lose by 80 if he doesn't have a great game. You're hearing it from Lowry, just like, we have no swagger. This is foreign to us because, you know, the Raptors the last 5 or 6 years, Lee, I mean, this doesn't happen to them, really. They're usually in games. And I think Blake Murphy wrote this morning, you know, it's been a long time for a game for Toronto where, you know, they basically sort of waved the white flag or could have, because it's just like it wasn't there. There was the effort was missing.
I think they were outplayed rather than waving the white flag, and Jason Tatum was just unstoppable, really. But, you know, you talk about missing their two best guards, but not when they got P-squared coming off the bench, dropping 23 points, the rookie Peyton Pritchard out there.
I tweeted, I would rather have Wanamaker hitting three on my team than what I call the fundamental professor from the N1 in Pritchard. I mean, yeah, he killed us.
He did, but, you know, the Celtics, you know, and this was a game, I think the Raptors were favorite going into it, and you could understand why. As you mentioned there, they're a bit shorthanded, a tough schedule there for them. But Jason Tatum is the best player out on the court there last night by so far,
by
and the
mile.
Raptors had no answer at all for him. I mean, he was hitting those ones where he's falling out of bounds at three as the shot clock was expiring. I mean, he was just incredible. And the thing is, the Raptors got off to a good start. It was almost like, right, let's hit these guys early because maybe their legs will catch up with them.
I actually thought the Raptors were going to win this by like 25.
Yeah.
Because of the schedule, because of missing players, because the Raptors were desperate. Yeah, and it started well, but yeah.
But then in that second half, whatever offensive intent they had in that first half just wasn't there in the second half. Second quarter, yeah. I'm trying to give them that benefit of maybe that first sort of quarter and a half here where things were close. But once the problem is, once the Celtics got that lead to double digits, it just didn't feel like the Raptors had another punch.
Well, that's my point, Lee. You can't say that for Raptors teams prior.
No, absolutely not. Especially a Kyle Lowry team. They fight and they scrap for everything. But again, there's a difference between not having a punch and sort of waving the white flag. And I didn't see that. It's just like they are so out of sync right now, this Raptors team. They just cannot seem to get on the same page. Whether it's Norm Powell, you know, whether it's Siakam. I know he's taking a lot of heat right now. I think they will be back because this team has been there before and they're experienced, they're well coached, they're deep, they've got the continuity. So all those factors to me tells me the Raptors will get it together. But when you suck, sometimes you just suck. You just suck. I mean, and that happens. So you see it when teams win, you know, they go on a 10, 11 game win streak. They're like, oh my God, this team just can't miss a beat. Everything's clicking. I think it's exactly the same when you're losing. You're just like, oh my God, we just cannot seem to get into a rhythm. And again, it's a team like the Celtics, and the Celtics and the Raptors have a good rivalry. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Celtics were just fantastic last night, and Jaylen Brown was good again, not as good as Tatum, but, right.
Yeah, but the Raptors' best players, let's be honest here, their best players, their, you know, toughest-minded players, whatever, their leaders, they're both 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. This is an issue. You know, Kyle didn't have a great game last night. Van Vliet had a monster game, one of his best games, actually. They can't seem to get on the same page and play sort of well in the same game. But those guys, you know, they're not really the problem. It really is everybody else. Siakam, moderately better last night, but the bar is so low, it's lying on the ground. I mean, it's he's not really shooting the basketball to me. He's like, he is just flipping. And I know that's sort of his MO and always was, but it's wild. I don't know. He is really, I appears to be in his head.
It's never an easy basket for Siakam, it feels like. Never. Maybe in transition he'll get one, but if it's in a half court, it's going to be 40 spins and a flip up, and you hope it bounces 40 times on the rim and drops through. You mentioned that their six-footers are their best players. I think you're missing Marc Gasol a lot here. You know, there are so many times where we're like, come on, Marc Gasol, shoot the ball. You're wide open for three. That connector piece is important, right? To get the ball from one side of the court to the other. Even if Gasol wasn't looking at the rim, he was making the right decision, keeping the ball moving, getting shots and switching the side of the court just to give a better attacking spot to somebody like Siakam. Because right now you're just able to load up on it. Baines, you know, maybe he'll hit a three if somebody leaves him wide open.
You can't hit a three, Trey, if you can't catch the ball.
Hey, we're just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here, Skeets. But it has been bad. You know, Marc Gasol seemed a bit like a luxury, but now it's pretty apparent that he was a necessity for the Raptors. They will turn it around. Like Fred VanVleet said, he's like, I've never been on a losing team, pretty much, right? Like, he won a G League championship. He won an NBA championship. He went to a Final Four in college. This has to be foreign from him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was partying at Magic Waters back in the day, but things will turn around. But right now, it just looks ugly. You got to see something more from Siakam, especially considering they are sort of in the same tier as the Celtics. And we've seen the Celtics go out and have two different guys score 40 this week.
Yeah.
Did you guys remember it all last season? There was a play against the Mavericks where Siakam had the ball just after halfway, did this really cool dribbling move under his legs, and then he just sort of slalomed his way into the basket there and flipped it up and scored. And it was one that, like, worldwide Wob was like, oh my God, I've seen enough. This guy is a legit star. Mm-hmm. We just haven't seen any of that confidence, I don't think, from Siakam this season, where he just sort of feels like he can go inside and get one of his herky-jerky little baskets. It just feels like you say, he's shooting, but he's like hoping rather than like going in there and really generating that offense. And
he's not getting to the line a ton.
Exactly. And I think that's a big part of it.
I think teams have figured him out a little bit, though, too.
That's also a part of it. Yeah, because he had that unconventional style sometimes where you would see him and then he just throws it over his shoulder and it goes in. But I still think that's there. He just needs to have one of those games. But he hasn't been able to sort of shake
But Trey's sort of right to me. Like, he never really was, and this is the truth. We were hoping as Raps fans that he might blossom into it, and maybe he still does. But he's not Tatum where it's like, give him the ball. He's not Kawhi, of course. Give him the ball. Go get us two, man. Like, it's just not – that's not – it's not him yet. I don't know if it's going to be. Which just becomes a little worrisome when, you know, obviously getting the big payday and, like, maybe he's not, maybe he cannot be the 1A guy on a team. He'd be probably a great second, third guy, but I don't know about the number one guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he got that payday on more than just the finals and the playoffs, though, I think. I think it's there. I think a lot of it is probably the scouting on him is a lot more tougher these days, where it's like, hey, listen, this guy can score. He can do these tricky things. You've got to be careful for it. So it's up to him to now adjust a little bit and mix up that game, you know, maybe go for that mid-range and maybe find a floater in there. But getting contact, getting to the free throw line, I think is very, very important for him. And he's not doing it, so...
I'm sending a petition to the league to scratch any of these Tampa Raptors records. This really shouldn't count. These should be swiped from the history books here, from the record books. Because this is not the Toronto Raptors. This is the Tampa Raptors. You had Celtics fans cheering for Taco Fall in the third quarter there.
I'm with Alex Wong on this one. He's been calling the 2019 Raptors last year the team that always came back, the heart of a champion Raptors. This is the expansion, Tampa Bay Raptors. Right. It doesn't feel the same because you're right. Last year, if they were down by 15, it was the Raptors coming back. It was 100%. Never say die, and it's basically the flip-flop this year.
Yeah.
The name you're starting to hear a lot, Skeets, it's in the stream team, it's on Twitter. Should the Raptors go get James Harden?
Man. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think I say no, they shouldn't, just because I'm not truly convinced... Trading for Harden, you know, is putting the Raptors over the top, and suddenly it's like a Kawhi-like move. Look, though, that all said, you know, we trusted Masai to do the right thing. I don't think so. I really don't. And we just need some of these guys to start playing better. Siakam's getting buried, and rightfully so. Norman Powell, I've mentioned him a couple times on our podcast. He's shooting 30%. And they need a wing player. I mean, they need a bigger guy on the perimeter to do something. He has been garbage. You can add him to the Kelly Oubre and Devontae Graham list for guys that just can't hit a shot right now. It's horrible. I can't even believe that's Norman Powell out there playing, especially from what we saw last year. Bainesy, I hate to go back to him, but it's like he's the Aussie Balrog from Street Fighter playing in boxing gloves. He can't catch a pass, Lee, or finish inside.
Yeah, I have been disappointed. I thought Bainesy was going to be a great fit on that team. And maybe he will be again. It's still early.
Yeah.
Because I think he does provide good defense and spreads the floor offensively. But yeah, so far
we have not seen it yet. And it's gotten so bad that then he gets benched for Alex Len.
Two-headed monster.
I can't believe I've kept quiet on Alex Len. I've hated Alex Len since he came in this league. I thought he was garbage right from the get-go. Then he finds his way to your team and you're like, okay, well, you have to. It's your team. I'm not saying Alex Len is the reason they have one victory, but like it's like that's how bad it is. It's Alex Len time, you know, in the second half. Like that's how bad Bainesy's been. And OG, great defense, we know that. He can't hit a three. I mean, he's 9 of 36 on threes. Yeah. A lot of them are those corner threes that he hits with more consistency. So maybe that turns around, but everything that could go wrong for the Raptors is going wrong right now.
I was expecting more from OG too this season. Mm-hmm. You know, he got the big contract. He was good down there in the bubble. He's a very good defensive player. He's that two-way player. They need him. They need him right now to take that step up where it's like he's shooting 60% from three. You know, like they need something from him and he's a struggle. But again, you look across the board and Kyle's not playing all that well right now. Fred's up and down a bit as well. They're not consistent. And that's the real problem here for Nick Nurse. He's got to figure it out. But again, I believe in depth, continuity, balance, experience. I believe those things will come through at some point for the Raptors. But right now, they just can't get that win. Again, you go back to the game against the Pelicans on I think it was Saturday night. You know, they were down. They fought their way back late into that game, had a chance to win it, and they just couldn't close it out. And you could just sort of see they just don't have that that confidence at end of games. Mm-hmm. This one didn't get to it like last night. I mean, they made it a fake
game. Comeback you know. Play or someone.
But didn't the Celtics have to bring back in?
Yeah, they brought their stuff
yeah,
back
yeah,
in.
Because it was just a little bit nervous But
a tough little stretch here. I mean, it doesn't get easier for the Raps. They open a 4-game Western swing now Wednesday night in Phoenix. So now they're on the road, though they're always on the road.
Yeah,
because it's you know, it sucks. It's unfortunate. And I saw Josh Lewinberg to speak to what you were talking about Gasol, Trey. You know, do they miss Ibaka and Gasol? Yeah, but they were good without those guys when they weren't playing last year. That's the truth. Like they were 18-10 without Gasol. They were 13-4 without Ibaka last season. They were 12-2 without Lowry. 13-5 without Van Vliet. I mean, they continued to rack up wins because of what Lee's talking about, the depth of the squad and the plug-and-play guys. But it's not there right now. And the standing doesn't even work anymore. Maybe I've got to start lying down.
Bring back planking. Yes. Nice. Watch the game face down until the Raptors are good again.
Hey, I would try anything right now. I'll have to try that on Wednesday night. Okay. Well, let's keep going. I'm sure we'll be talking about the Raptors in the coming days. Okay, next game. This was a crazy game. Brogdon hits OT winner as the Pacers top the Pelicans 118-116. Trey, big takeaway.
Well, my big takeaway is thanks to Lee Ellis with the clip work here, because I don't know if I would have turned on Pacers versus Pelicans had it not been for Lee playing the clip of Miles Turner's game-tying three-pointer. An insane shot. The guy shoots the ball as high as you possibly can, and it's a pure swish. I don't know how the Pacers got back in this game. They were down by six with 30 seconds left. Victor Oladipo brings the ball up, cans a three from like 27 feet away, yeah. A deep one. On the next inbounds, it's the steal that gets the Turner three. It was reminding me of Bulls versus Hornets last year when Zach LaVine had that crazy three that won him the game. And then in overtime, Oladipo, 5 points and assist. Like you said, Brogdon hit the game winner. But the Pelicans still had a chance because Zion had an incredible take to the hoop with a spin and a layup. I know it wasn't a dunk ski.
That was nice. It was nice.
It was nice. That was nice. And then I thought maybe they were going to complete the Hail Mary. Lonzo chucking the ball down to Zion. If he would have thrown it, I don't know, a yard further, that would have been a touchdown to Zion. He puts the ball up for the hoop and the Pelicans maybe take the win. But this was a crazy ending. It's worth going back and watching the highlights just to see how the Pacers pulled out this victory. There's some great Brandon Ingram highlights, tough finishes, really nice passing. He had a behind-the-back dribble spin move that was insane. And, you know, Victor Oladipo's looking all right now. The explosion, I don't think, is quite where it was during his prime, but he's got a lot more craft to his game right now. So with TJ Warren going out for a little bit, it's been nice to see Oladipo getting back to himself.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about whether the Knicks can keep it up. Lee, can the Pacers keep this up? You probably have more confidence in the Pacers, do you not, to have one of the better records in the East, right?
Yeah, because they're just, again, so consistent and so tough defensively. I mean, this was a game, I don't know how they actually made this to overtime and then went on to win it. You know, you just sort of figure that that the Pelicans would have succeeded, because as Trey mentioned there, Brandon Ingram was incredible again late last night. He's been so good for this team, playmaking, scoring, going to the basket, hitting that mid-range shot. And Zion had another very good game as well out there. Lonzo Ball even had a good game here for the Pelicans. But it's just that resilience from the Pacers. Not sexy. Malcolm Brogdon's game winner is not going to be one of those ones that we watch over and over and over again. But it won the game for them. And that's what he does, is he makes the right play. And, you know, it goes in. It's not like he's trying to wait for the clock to end and hit the fadeaway step back or anything like that. He just goes inside and scores it. But yeah,
you feel so calm when Malcolm Brogdon has the ball. Like, you just have so much like confidence. He's like, he's gonna do the right thing.
Exactly.
You know, whether it goes in, like, you just like, all right, we're good. He's got it. I'm serious here. And like, the way Turner's playing under the new coach Nate Bjorkgren, and Sabonis is like all NBA, and then you said Trey Oladipo getting back to shades of, you know, Oladipo 2 years ago. That's four really damn good players that I like all four of those guys. And then the pieces like doing their part around them and with the good defense. This is a good team. They will be once again a team you don't want to see in a playoff series, I think.
You nailed it, that they are a good team. Every player that plays for the Pacers is good. Like TJ McConnell is their backup point guard. He's been pretty solid. TJ Warren is out for a little bit, so they're able to bring in a guy like Aaron Holiday to start in his place. Maybe Justin Holiday to start in his place as well. These are all guys who have started for NBA teams for a long time, and they're just able to have good rotation players. And apparently that's good enough to win like 60% of your games. And I don't know, I've been enjoying it. This is not the game to watch, though, if you have anti-big bias like Skeets. There were two big guys on the court for most of the game on both sides. That was awesome. Sabonis struggled a little. Zion almost fouled him out. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, but why wasn't Zion starting in overtime?
Yeah, that was weird. He was at the scorer's table for a while, but there just wasn't a break in play. I don't know. Yeah. I would have got him back in sooner.
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead,
Lee. Yeah, well, Sabonis did fail out as well, which, you know, for the Pacers, losing another one of their solid players to go and get the victory was great for them. But Zion did have, I don't know if you saw it, Skeets, it was going around a bit this morning. He saved the play, you know, sort of the ball's going out of bounds, saved it, and then ran back down the other end and had another, a very nice finish. He seems, though, to be able to avoid contact a lot.
Yeah. He's like sort of a giant Derrick Rose.
Yeah. Which, again, considering his size, it's like he can take that contact, but he seems to, like,
when he finishes around it.
There's not much body contact there with him. But, I mean, this is, you know, an interesting one, like, statistically, if you want to get into the weeds for this one. Like, Zion was a plus 18 on the game, but Brandon Ingram was a minus 6. Now, Zion did have a great game, but Brandon Ingram, for me, was clearly, again, their best player out there last night. And he just continues to improve his game. And, again, it's a maturity thing, I think. I think it's not being where he was in LA. He doesn't have that same pressure on him out there in New Orleans. But, you know, he and Zion starting to, you know, like, is there's been a question, would these two guys sort of get in each other's way a little bit? And I don't think that's a problem right now. I think they are figuring it out. Stan Van Gundy's got a way of having those guys to be able to play together, which is important because they're two young stars and they gave Brandon Ingram the big contract. I think they were going to do that anyway in the offseason. But moving forward, you know, can this be a 1-2 combination? And you know, still plenty of time here. They've still got to figure some things out. But I think you can see that it potentially can work here because Brandon Ingram has expanded his game so much that he doesn't just stay in one spot, you know? Mm-hmm. He's out on the perimeter sometimes. He's got that shot. He is setting up his teammates. I think you were talking about it, Trey, there, that sort of spinning assist he had out to Lonzo Ball where he, like, sliced through two defenders and then just flicked it out to Lonzo Ball. It was a beautiful play. So, you know, lots of good signs there for New Orleans. They're still, you know, they're not ready to compete for a championship by any means yet, but you can certainly see that this is a combination that could work for them going forward.
Oh, yeah. They should have won this game. This was a gut punch loss. I mean, yeah. let's be honest. As much as we want to give the Pacers credit for pulling it out, Pelicans handed it to them, really. Mm-hmm. Steven Adams had a nice rebound highlight in this one.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Steven Adams was going nuts hitting the offensive boards in overtime.
That was fun to watch. You know, I love a good rebound highlight. Oh, yeah. So good game. Yeah, go back and at least catch the highlights of that one. Pacers, Pelicans. All right, let's keep it going here. Giannis scores 43 as the Bucks beat the Pistons 125-115. Lee, the Bucks starting to hit the threes. Giannis looking like you know, that MVP like Giannis. What's your other takeaways?
Yeah, we needed to see something like that from Giannis, where I thought he might have been going for 60 for Steph's record there that was set a night earlier, because basically Giannis did whatever. This game was over at halftime. Giannis did whatever he wanted.
He had
to
like
do.
31 or 30 at the half.
Something like that, yeah. And a lot of those were just like inside the paint or just basically nothing the Pistons could do to stop them. They were without Blake Griffin, again, missing that game. But the Pistons, you know, they're a tough team to watch at the best of times. There was one really cool highlight, though, here from Giannis. I don't know if you saw it, where it was from an end of out-of-bounds play and someone threw up the alley-oop. We often see that. But he used his left hand, that gigantic left hand, to catch it and just throw it down. And, you know, we haven't seen quite a freakish play from Giannis for a while. And while that's not super freakish, it just again shows how long and how athletic he is to just get that in the one hand, palm it with his offhand, and just throw down the dunk from an inbounds play. So I thought that was cool. Not much else really in this game to look at. The Pistons were never really a chance. The Bucks, though, a pretty dominant victory. I think the final score was maybe only 10 or 15 points.
Yeah,
what was it? But this game was well and truly over at halftime, and something for the Bucks again, just to start to build, to show that they are the best team in the Eastern Conference. We haven't seen it really up until this point.
Yeah. Anything to add to this one, Trey? What do you think of these Bucks blue jerseys? Seeing those in action, I don't like them wearing blue. I don't know what it is.
It's weird to talk yourself into it being the Bucks wearing blue, but I remember election night back in November, seeing Milwaukee flip Wisconsin blue as the votes came in with the Fiserv Forum open for voting. So I'm for it. The Bucks are wearing blue wave jerseys in a blue wave year. Fine by me.
Yeah, make sure if you're listening in Georgia here, get it. Vote today. I got the runoff today, January 5th. All right, final game, guys. Five games, one thing from each one. Embiid's double-double leads the 76ers past the Hornets 118-101. Philly now 6-1. Best record in the league. Trey, what's your takeaway?
Well, this was not a fair fight for the 76ers. We're talking about Joel Embiid and Dwight Howard versus Bismack Biyombo and backup five, PJ Washington, who is not a huge man. 14 offensive rebounds for the Sixers, 18 second chance points, 64 points in the paint for Philadelphia. Skeets, you mentioned yesterday, would my dad request a trade if I wasn't getting enough touches?
Right.
I followed up with him after the show yesterday. I said, Dad, would you request a team trade me if I wasn't playing enough? He said, interesting question. What's behind it? I had to explain to him the dad bags situation. Kings Marvin Bagley's dad started tweeting he wanted the Kings to trade him because he wasn't getting enough minutes. Knowing the situation, my dad says, I wanted to do something like that when you were at NBA TV. Personally, I wanted you to have more airtime. That's my daddy! So, if you turn on a show sometime in the next couple of weeks, and I'm not here, it's going to be because I'm playing backup big for the Charlotte Hornets. They need some guys out there just to bang bodies, because honestly, watching Embiid and Dwight Howard just throw people out of the way to dominate inside, what are you supposed to do if you're the Hornets? Those are the games you want to see from Joel Embiid where he just goes out, you know he has an advantage, and he uses it to his advantage. Sixers look exactly like everybody has wanted the Sixers to look like since Embiid and Simmons really came onto the scene. Looks good so far.
I like, though, that they're saying all the right things, too, with this, you know, with this 6-1 record. They're basically like, we haven't really played anyone yet. Yeah. Like, they're sort of saying that. Like, we've had a pretty easy schedule, and we're getting the wins, taking care of business. Okay, but we got, you know, bigger plans than starting, you know, winning 6 of our first 7 games. We want to win a championship. So I like that. I like that vibe coming from this team. And you, yeah, you can only, you know, play and beat who's in front of you on the schedule, and that's what they've done so far.
Yeah, and they got Washington next, and then they got Brooklyn, though Durant's likely to miss that game. Yep. And then they got Denver. So Embiid versus Jokic, we'll see. I mean, they have different styles of games here. The Nuggets obviously need wins. So that will be a little bit more of a test here for Philadelphia. But certainly, I mentioned this yesterday on the show, their offense certainly doesn't look as congested as it did. And again, part of that, of course, is the opponents. But I think I'm seeing Joel Embiid. He seems to be a lot more patient out there. He's not forcing things as we've seen him in the past, where you can dominate, you know, and throw your body around and be great, but you don't have to force things. And he hasn't been doing that. And Simmons, I thought, was very good again last night. But the Sixers, and having Seth Curry out there on the floor is very, very good for them as well, because if the ball finds his way to his hands, he's knocking down that three-pointer, which is great for Philadelphia. So lots of good signs here for them. Again, easy-ish schedule. We'll see what happens here when they start playing, when they go on a road trip as well out west or something like that, and they have a little bit of a tougher schedule to see if it can still hold up the way they've been playing.
All right, bonus question here. Just because I asked you about the Bucks jerseys, Trey, I got to get both of your reactions to the Heat's, I guess, vice versa. Is that what they're calling these jerseys in court?
Yeah.
If you're joining us on YouTube, we're showing you a photo of this like gradient paint that goes like from, you know, a deep pink to a light pink to the blue, very ice cream like. And then there's a photo of the jerseys here, which are also this wild gradient. I mean, Trey, are you a fan of these? Like, what's your take on these?
I thought I was going to be a fan of these, but this looks like a EuroLeague team out there. It also somehow makes the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are wearing white jerseys, made them look like they were wearing pink jerseys.
Yes.
Just because it's reflecting off the floor. This also looked to me like a team I would create in a 2K game. In fact, I once made a team, all of us, called the Las Vegas Bamboo Boys. Our gradient was from pink to orange, and it looked insane. But then the Heat came out with this as their actual court. It's just a little too much, if you ask me. I don't know. The Heat have been banging it out of the park with this vice theme for the past couple of seasons. They really went for it this year, and I don't know. The jerseys combined with the courts, that's a lot of colors.
Yeah, that's why when we did our little TikTok video there, like doing thumbs up or thumbs down at the start of the season on all these city jerseys, I went down ultimately on the Heat on this version of it, because I'm just like, all right, you're going a little too far, all right, with this cool colorway. I think you've just gone one step too far. But Lee, what's your opinion? You like it?
No, I'm the same. And I sort of thought Trey would probably be into it. But then, so I'm happy to hear that he's not, even he thinks it's a little bit too much, because it is kind of like they're wearing tie-dye out there, but not a good job of it. You know, it's like it's sort of halfway. I mean, the thing is with the Heat, they had such a good reaction to their Miami Vice jerseys a few years ago.
Yeah.
I think they just sort of thought, we can do anything now. People are going to love these jerseys. And now it's like, nah. You got a bit drunk on power, I think, down there. These are just a little bit too much. I mean, stick to one color there. I mean, maybe try something with the shorts, maybe a little bit of a different color to the top. I don't know. I mean, the Hawks tried that a few years ago. It didn't go all that well. But
it's weird to see the gradient go, you know, from left to right.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen jersey, of course, go up, down. But that's bold. And the paint, the paint looked
on the court
too. It didn't look very good.
Yeah. Not a great look, but I'm sure the Heat will get it right again at some point, because they tend to get that one right. But this one was just a little over the top. Maybe it would have looked different with a crowd there. I don't know.
Do you think they run these by Pat Riley? what do you think? They put it in front of Pat Riley and say, what do you think, Pat?
That's a great question, because... I mean, he's synonymous with the Miami Heat with everything they do, but is that something that Pat would... I mean, we saw him in The Last Dance. Pat's got some drip, too, you know?
I was going to say, Pat Riley may have, okayed this for all we know.
Yeah. I'm gonna say no. Because I think Pat would have almost been like, "No, guys, just reel it back in a little bit. We don't need to be so sexy, you know." But who knows?
Okay, let's hear from you guys. Are you fans of the new? I guess I think it's the final edition. They're sort of calling it of the Heat Vice City, vice versa, whatever term they've applied to it. Are you a fan? Let us know in the stream team, and of course, tweet at us at. No dunk sick. All right, we're going to get to the Kevin Durant news. We got some other news, but first, a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, some news. Let's get to this KD news. According to Shams, Kevin Durant will need to quarantine for 7 days after the NBA's tracing initiative revealed that he has been exposed to COVID-19. KD already had the virus early in the outbreak, has tested negative, and still has antibodies, according to Woj, but the league's rules do not distinguish between players that have had COVID and those that haven't. The Nets are going to play 4 games in the next 7 days, so this is sort of crazy, Trey. I don't know what your take is on this, but no KD for the next week, even though he doesn't have, you know, COVID. He hasn't tested positive for it. He already had it, but, you know, he's been around people that apparently have.
Yeah, it's a crazy scenario for the Nets. Like you're saying, he had it already, but we don't know what the presence of antibodies means for spreading COVID. So rules are rules, and that means 4 games in a week when the Nets are kind of struggling. They've lost 4 of 5. The defense seems to be a bit of a mess. Kevin Durant obviously is their best player and likely could be their most impactful defender when he's 100% locked in. Just not great timing for a team that you look at what they did last year. It was like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant were there. Kevin Durant didn't play. Kyrie was in. Then he was out. Then he was out for the season. They just couldn't really get anything going, and it feels a little bit like that right now. This is only a week for right now, but it's a busy season where we're seeing more and more games during the week. So, I mean, it's tough. You know, the Nets are already trying to figure things out, and now they're going to be missing their biggest, best piece for an entire week right now. So, you know, hopefully Kevin Durant and all the other Nets who are affected by this contract tracing are completely healthy and safe. And hopefully he comes back soon so the Nets can put their best team together out there.
What do you think, Lee?
Yeah, I think it's very good, though, from the NBA to not take any chances here at all with this COVID, because if they just sort of say, well, he's had it before and, you know, he hasn't tested positive for it, let's just let him go. And then all of a sudden he does, because this can show up a couple of days after you test negative anyway, then it could just derail the season. And so I think the NBA certainly just has got to be overly cautious in what they do here. For the Nets, yeah, it sucks. They're going to be without their best player here for a tough stretch of games. But that it's more important that people don't spread this virus, if you ask me. You're seeing right now in other countries, like, for example, in England, they've gone to a complete shutdown just about except for professional sport because they sort of need something for people to be able to do and see and to watch. And we all know what it was like when the lockdown happened, when there was no sports here. It was something we hadn't seen before. So I think it's very important that the league is able to continue functioning. But if anyone is at any risk whatsoever, I think it's very important to just isolate that person and keep them away until they have passed all necessary protocols to return, because we certainly don't want to get into that situation again where, you know, like any team that the Nets have played or been in contact with, potentially they have to isolate their players as well. And then we get into a pretty chaotic situation.
Yeah, I think they're being extremely cautious in the KD scenario here, and that's fine. But I'm a little confused about is like, okay, and I don't know the full details, so, you know, maybe I'm speaking when I shouldn't. But like the Clippers, right? They had a bunch of people on their staff. I don't know if they tested positive or there was concerns of them, you know, being around people with COVID. But like, So this is a part of their staff. So I assume these guys, a part of their staff and women, are around the players, or had been, but they're not canceling Clipper games, right? Like, they feel like, I guess, the testing is showing within the players that they're still negative, so they're still good to go. It's a cloudy area, and I get it. It's difficult. There's probably no right answer, and you do, again, want to be cautious, but, like, what's going on there that then, okay, then we're fine with the players playing in that game, you know what I mean?
It is tough.
But I don't know the details, so maybe it's they feel comfortable enough that it's not as close as whatever was happening with KD and whoever he was around. Yeah.
Yeah, and Adam Silver sort of talked about this coming into the season, that, like, it's going to be kind of like just as these situations arise, almost dealing with them as they're happening, because so it could easily just get out of hand again, and I think they don't want to do that. But when it comes to someone like Kevin Durant, if there's any chance that he's got it, I guess it's better to keep weighing with the Clippers situation. I don't know as well. It's hard to know exactly what they've found out there, but I guess they're just taking it case by case and handling it that way. And I think that's probably the best thing to do for the time being, anyway, rather than cause a mass shutdown again, just in case.
Yeah, the NBA is adopting a tougher policy regarding masks, too, we just learned, right? I guess Doc Rivers was fined $10,000 by the league for violating the policy where he's pulling his down frequently to communicate with players and officials. But I don't know why Doc got dinged every game I watch. I mean, this is happening.
Tom Thibodeau is going to be out of pocket $3 million then from last night.
So that's okay, whatever. Yeah. He's being made an example, maybe, I don't know. But I guess was it Shams reporting that, look, when you're on the bench, you better have that mask on. It sounds like coaches do need to keep them on more frequently. But then, of course, when you play, you don't need to wear one. They're flying by their seat of their pants. You're right. They're just trying to continue to keep everybody safe and to continue to have a league to make money and to entertain people. But wild times. All right, some other news here. Spurs point guard Derek White is out indefinitely after breaking his left second toe. White had off-season surgery on the same toe, but the Spurs said on Monday the fracture is a new injury. Timeline has not been provided for his actual return. But Lee, this is a tough loss for the Spurs here. You gave the Spurs a loser of the weekend on Monday's show, and now they got this Derek White news.
Yeah, and he's an important player for them. Remember when we had Kirk Goldsberry on, he was talking about how they scouted Derek White, and Kirk was in the draft room when they drafted him, so he had big hopes for him, and he's really lived up to those. He's become a much better player, two-way player for that team over the last couple of seasons, and you know, for him to be out sort of indefinitely is a really tough blow. And it is interesting, you mentioned there, he had surgery on this same toe, but this is a different injury. I mean, how big is that toe to get so many different injuries, you know? it's a toe, you know? Like, how many different ways can you injure that same one? I wonder, but all jokes aside.
Do you think NBA teams in the future could start looking at guys like old eight toes as,
as
someone you'd want on your roster, less toes to injure?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got the webbed feet, so it is harder to break those those toes.
If you try breaking a duck's foot, it's impossible.
Yeah, right? Maybe it's similar to, like, you know, you sprain your finger, so you tape three of them together. That's what the Derek White needs to do, web them up.
Old eight toes is ahead of the game, you know, but he really should have been a great swimmer with that that webbed foot.
But afraid of the water. That was the ironic part.
Wasted gold medals right there from old eight toes.
That's like performance enhancing in a way, isn't it? Well, with the web foot.
Yeah, I mean, it's natural, though. It's natural. He was born it, so, you know.
So, yeah, this sucks. White's only played one game this season, right? He played against the Lakers.
Nine
points, two blocks. You know, he didn't do a whole ton. He played 23 minutes on that one. But he did just sign the extension that kicks in next season, 4 years, $73 million. And he had played really well in the bubble when he had come back from injury. He was, like, averaging 19, 5, and 4 down in the bubble. So, tough loss here, right, TK? I'm sure you agree with that.
Oh, no doubt. Derek White seems to be a proven playoff performer, but that doesn't seem to be in the cards for the Spurs this year, especially if he's going to be out for any extended period of time, in which case, feel free to keep him out a little bit longer, improve those draft odds, pull a Tim Duncan. You know what I'm saying? You have a decent team, but an injury happens and you're able to work your way to a really good pick. We've been talking a lot about the Spurs and what they could do in the future, whether it be trade Aldridge and DeRozan or Patty Mills, Rudy Gay. There's a lot of names out there, a lot of veteran players who could help some teams that are going to be playing in the playoffs, If the Spurs are committed to a youth movement, if Derek White is hurt, it's got to be time. It's got to be getting at least close to time. I mean, we'll know more. If Derek White's able to come back in 2 weeks, maybe they're able, the Spurs are able to rally around that and still put together a solid season. But if not, this might have to be the year. Might have to be the year that the Spurs decide to do something midseason.
Yeah, toe injuries, man. They suck.
Yep.
Nora just had a toe injury.
Oh.
She, now that we, of course, that we have Luna, our little puppy, you know, there's dog toys everywhere, right? Like hard shoe bones, but they blend right into our carpet. You can't even see them. She stepped on one and then, in sort of catching herself from falling, like stubbed her toe hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
But she was on the disabled list for a good 3 or 4 days. She couldn't walk, Luna. I had to do all the
really?
Walking. Yeah, I mean, it hurt her a lot. Yeah. I mean, she obviously didn't break it or she wouldn't be able to put any weight on it, but sure, she like sprained it really bad or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing, man. Watch your toes.
It's a good thing she already locked in that huge contract. So at least we know she's going to be banking off of it. But the bad thing about toes is you always got to use them. Every time you want to walk, you got to use your toes. So take your time, Derek.
And if you got dog toys lying around, you got kids' toys lying around, look, you should be wearing slippers. That's what you should be doing. And now this is ironic because Nora makes fun of these slippers that I own and wear. Well, I'll just show them to you.
Oh, great. Here
I'm
we
wearing
go.
Them right
see
now.
It, oh,
well, yeah, I mean, I could lift my foot up, but like, look at these things.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So she hates these. I'm showing like this North Face. Look, it looks like a sleeping bag for your foot.
Yeah.
Love these. Super comfortable. Shout out to my buddy Grish coming through with these because I saw him having, he wore them. I'm like, what are those? Like, they got this, like, look at that. That's like a shoe there, Lee.
Yeah.
Anyway, you wear these. I mean, you can't stub your toe in these. These are like basically bricks, man.
You wear those outside?
Well, that's the problem, right? I could, but I don't want to. Then I can't wear them inside.
Yeah, I know.
I told you, man. I'll wear them on the porch. Yeah. I ain't going down on the grass in these.
Yeah. That's fair. Because slippers are indoor shoes. If I see someone out in the street, you know, wearing slippers just there, like where I see some parents dropping off their kids wearing pajamas, I'm like, no.
Okay, now here's the beauty of a slipper like this, though, Lee, that is a shoe-like.
Mm.
Let's say in an emergency, I see somebody trying to steal a bike from my window inside. I got no problem bolting out in these. You know, I could run them down in these is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that in slides. I'm not doing that in sandals, you know, stuff like that.
No.
Flip-flops. So, in an emergency, you can wear your indoor slipper outside.
That's under those circumstances to prevent a crime in progress.
Yes. Yes. Well, I've said this before. I've always wanted to see somebody steal my bike, in theory. I don't have a bike, but my bike or a close friend's bike. And I've always wanted, as that person's trying to like get the speed going on the bike to get away, I've wanted to run them down. You know, put down a quick 40 and then pull them off the bike. That would hurt them.
I mean, how fast are you running and how bad are they at pedaling a bike that they can't get away from?
Well, you want to set this up, Lee? I'll give you 20 yards to you to jump
20
on
yards?
Bike.
20 yards? Okay.
Yeah, I think I could get you.
All right.
Yeah, I got that quick switch fibers there. All right. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Final piece of news. Steph Curry and Tobias Harris have been named the NBA Players of the Week. Curry averaged 39.7 points, 6 boards, 5 assists as the Dubs went 2-1. Meanwhile, Harris averaged 23.3 points, 9.7 rebounds while shooting 57% from the floor as the 76ers went a perfect 3-0 on the week. So congrats to those guys. I actually had a trivia question for you guys off this one. How many times has Steph Curry now won Player of the Week? If you had to guess.
23.
Okay, Trey?
22.
I would have thought in the 20s too. I think those are good guesses. 15th time. That's high. Now, how many times has Tobias Harris won it?
Probably 3. Like
Lee Ellis.
It's like end of the season, you know, like
That's where you're wrong. That's interesting you said that. Always coming early in the season for Tobias Harris. Mm-hmm. November 13th, 2017 with the Pistons. November 26th, 2018 with the Clippers. And then now, obviously early in the season, with the 76ers. Yeah, you would have thought late in the season, but early.
That's wonder if he's the first player on 3 different teams that's not an all-star, because LeBron's...
Sure. Oh, wow. It, wow.
But, you know,
that's a good one.
That's a great question. Oh, shoot, I don't know if you're out there. That's a deep dive that I will not do, but somebody have at it. Great question, Lee. Okay. We got Tweet of the Night. We got Pick'em. But first, quick word from our sponsors.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sorry, JD, are you saying Cobra Kai Season 3? Is that what you're watching, or are you watching like the actual Karate Kid movie?
No, I'm watching Cobra Kai. I'm four deep in Season 3. We've watched the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's a roast fest in our house. It's great. It's so bad, but it's addictive. Yeah. It's really, really weird.
Yeah, yeah.
How long are episodes? Are they?
They vary a bit. Some are like 30, 35. The episode 10 is 40 minutes. The finale.
Ooh.
Oh wow.
Yeah, episode 9. I think you'll enjoy episode 9, JD. I think you'll enjoy that one.
All right.
I certainly did. 13 or 14 year old Lee enjoyed episode 9. Yeah,
I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
So you binged watched this whole thing, eh, Lee?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I got through because like, look, truthfully, it hasn't been great. It's been okay. Some things they do really well. Some of the nostalgic things they do well, but some of the fighting scenes are just completely over the top. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I mean, the character.
Do you watch it with your kids then?
No. Well, Sebastian watched a little bit because of the karate stuff, but
right.
They explore they explore one of the characters in this in a really deep, dark way too. I'm not sure. I can't remember if it's started in episode 4 or not, but it gets really heavy at like a couple of points there.
Oh, wow.
It's good. It's not a bad way of like sort of explaining how this character became the way he is. But some of the things they do, some of the things are really like really cool little look backs at the old movies. But then other times it's just sort of like, okay, I mean, come on, you're getting a bit carried away here. But apparently they've already signed up for season 4, so it's going to be back.
Can someone watch Cobra Kai without ever having watched the Karate Kid movies?
I mean, yeah, could.
Yeah, but you would miss some of the little jokes and things like that. But
watched Karate Kid. I'm just curious.
Did you see Karate Kid 2 as well?
I don't think so. I think I only watched the first one.
Well, you probably want to watch Karate Kid 2 before you watch Season 3 of Cobra Kai, anyway.
Definitely don't have. Absolutely.
Yeah, but they have some good throwbacks in there, yeah.
That's a weird thing about that show. It's like, it's not for kids at all. Like, they talk about whacking off and they say shit and
hold on,
and
whack
all this
on,
stuff.
Whack off?
Yeah, it's whack on, whack off in the new millennium. Yeah.
Well, the funniest thing is Ralph Macchio is the age that Mr. Miyagi was in The Karate Kid now, which is kind of funny because Mr. Miyagi looked like he was about 80 when he was, you know, in those, whereas Ralph is like 57 or something like that.
Is Mr. Miyagi no longer with us?
No, he passed away. Yeah, he passed away a long time ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. All right, Cobra Kai talk. Nice. Way not to. I know you wanted to say stuff there, Lee, but you're trying to hold in those spoilers.
I'm what's a spoiler? You know, like what's the threshold for not revealing any spoilers for a show like this? I mean, a month, 2 months.
No way. It's more like 2 weeks. It's 10 episodes.
Yeah.
People, I mean, you've already watched the whole thing. It came out
on the first. Right?
Yeah. So we'll give it a week and then we'll do a deep dive.
All right. That's great. I'm in.
Okay. Lock it in. All right. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
So, Tweet of the Night, I just thought I'd get silly with it. I know there's the whole Dads of Sacramento tweets going around with, I guess, Mr. Fox now talking about Mr. Bagley. What's going on with that team? But
Real Dads of Sacramento. I would watch that on Bravo and review it with JD gladly.
Credit to Ghostface Ziller, I think, coming up with that. I saw that in the newsletter. I love it. But no, I'm going completely off board here. I'm going really random. At Steve Gameware tweeted yesterday, going through old photos, and I found that time I scored 450 points in NBA Live 95. There it is. He's the Knicks. Over the Beantown Boys, 450 to 106, playing NBA Live 95. I used to love this game as a kid. This is right in my wheelhouse. I was a Sega guy. I don't know about Steve Martin here. Is that the real Steve Martin?
He looks great.
But I love the follow-up tweets too, because Ryan Kay, a fan of our show actually, he asked on the road, or he said on the road too, impressive. And Steve responded with first game of the season, and then he's got the breakdown there. Look at the shooting percentage. Wow. For the Knicks, this is like the real life Knicks here, Lee. 79.5% from three.
He hit 136 threes?
That's right, Lee. That's how you score 450 points in a game.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then Aaron noted a little bit later in the thread, John Starks with the J, right? Probably just, Starks is on this team. Steve says, you know it. Player of the game, John Starks. 416 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, 67 steals. One block, making Kendall Gill envious with that stat line. Lovely for John Starks in 95. Player of the game. Yeah, I just love this tweet because it got me all nostalgic. And I can't remember if I shared these stories on the podcast before. But there's two specific NBA Live like anecdotes that I have. Because I played 95, 96, 97. Those were definitely my 3 years that I was playing on the Sega. And I remember, I think it was Andrew DeClerc, or it was Todd Fuller, but there was a part where you could create a player, but they had sort of like built it in that if you just put in the player's last name, then the attributes would pop up being a rookie, right? And I honestly can't remember. I think it was Todd Fuller. When I put him in, for whatever reason, the game glitched and just gave him an afro. A giant afro. He's a white guy. And so that was one little random story. And then the other one is, I think it was 97, there was like a glitch. It always felt like it would happen with like Chris Childs, or like that when you went down, you like drove down the lane and jumped, sometimes you would just like skyrocket to the top corner of the screen and like shoot a three. And it was just like this random glitch. I always remember that happening, and it felt like it was always Childs for some reason.
Tough to defend.
Yeah. Anyway, did you play, I know you're not the biggest video game guy, Lee, but did you play those games at all?
I was back in the day, okay. I mean, I had the NBA Jam Live, NBA Jam Tournament Edition. And I conquered one where the last team you had to play was the invisible guys. Do you remember that? There was invisible guys. And so, like, the ball was moving around. You still had to do the same thing, push them, shove them, get them out of the way.
You're talking NBA Jam here right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was on an Australian edition anyway. I think it was...
I think they unplugged your controller, mate. Like you're a 5-year-old. And just said, beat the invisible guys.
But there was also a glitch on that NBA Jam, where if the other person shot a three, you could go up and grab it, and the 3 points before, like goaltend.
Yeah.
And before it would go in, it would actually credit your team with 3 points. That was a glitch that happened.
What's going on with this Australia hardware?
Eight Toes was furious with that because he would shoot him and I'd get the 3-pointers. Yeah, it was weird. It didn't happen every time, but it happened a couple of times where it's like, oh, this is working, so this is great.
Okay.
And then me and Benny in Canada, we played NBA Live, and I was my unbeatable team was Chris Webber and the Sacramento Kings. Benny just could not beat me, no matter which team he went.
Nice.
Chris Webber was just unstoppable. Unstoppable.
Nice. I fired up the emulator last night. I didn't fire it up. I found it online because you can play these games like online.
Yeah.
I hate playing any game on my keyboard though. I'm so brutal at it. It's like, Trey, are you any good at that? Like ZXC, like, or your three buttons? It's impossible for me. I don't know if you can do it, but
playing on
like playing
a
any video game on
computer.
Your keyboard. Yeah.
No, and that just tells me that we're straight up amateurs. Skeets, oh, because if you're into the gaming world, you're not using a controller. You're deep on the tappity taps.
It's amazing to me that people can do that. But I played it. I fired up NBA Live 96 last night, or 95 or 96. And I was trying it on my computer. Oh my god, I forgot like how much the guys like how like slippery like they are. They like glide everywhere on the court. But that was sort of cool at the time.
Oh, no doubt, man. I loved NBA Live back in the day, and, you know, I mentioned making the Las Vegas Bamboo Boys. It's been the same for me. We're talking about extended childhoods. I'm making teams full of my friends in 2020, 2021, just like I was in 1995. Yeah. Back then, it was Brad Korn. Now it's J.E. Skeets.
Oh, wow.
From Korn to Skeets.
Amazing.
25 years of glowing up.
All right, well, shout out to Steve Martin. Steve Martin for those tweets, taking me back, had me playing old video games last night. All right, pick 'em results. It was the Celtics Raptors game. Raptors were favored by 2.5. Three of us took the Raps. Lee, the only one, swerving, taking the Beantown boys, obviously got the victory. So Lee and I are now 4-3. Task 3-4. Trey 2-5. Rough start for TK here. Not a great start for really anybody, if I'm being honest. Tonight's pick 'em though, Bulls doubles in Portland, take on the Blazers. Ooh, this line is big. Portland by 10.5. The Blazers favored. So, Trey, why don't you get us started? It's your team. You like your Chicago Bulls to cover here? This big line?
That's too big of a line for the Trail Blazers to cover and win. So give me the Bulls. It's been a great 2021 for Chicago in general, and I assume they're going to keep it rolling out there.
All right. Lele, what do you got?
Yeah, this is a tough one because the Bulls have been okay in the last few games. The Blazers had a big win over the Warriors, but then they got punked by Steph 60. So you wonder if the Blazers are like, all right, we've got to get back on the board. I think they have got 11 points, so I'll take the Blazers.
I know. This is a difficult one. I am also going to go Blazers. I hate to do that to you, Trey, but it's like we're getting a lot of blowouts. Mm-hmm. And I think it's got something to do with really no fans, very few fans, like... I mean, it's got to be difficult once you get behind to then, like, without any sort of, like, backing of your home fan base to sort of rally. I don't know. It feels like they've just got so many blowouts, so I could see another one getting out of hand here. So I'll go Portland to cover also, so I'm with Lee on that. And let's hear who Tass has.
Blazers, Bulls. Ooh, this one's going to be a barn burner with the way these two teams play defense. It's going to make me want to pop in Blazers versus Bulls on the Super Nintendo. No way I can take the Blazers to cover 11. Too many points. Give me the Bulls.
Wow. That was trippy.
That was trippy.
Cass was referencing Blazers Bulls. Well, we just got done. We had never seen that video, by the way, people. So that was... We're still... Tass isn't here, and we're still on the same wavelength, guys. That's just how it goes. All right, so Trey, Tass, taking Chicago to cover the big 10.5 line from the Blazers. Lee and I got them to win by 11 or more. Let's hear from you guys. Who you got? Who do you like? Let's call it there. Fun show, guys. As always, thank you to the stream team for joining us live on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and your comments. Recording a new Beach Steppin' Pod tomorrow. Send them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Watch your toes, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, if you live in Georgia, go vote in the runoff election. It's today.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.